Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 262, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Wednesday, November 9th, 2022, which is our annual, biannual Schrodinger's Cat episode where we don't know what has happened because we're recording this before y'all are listening to it. So, you know, it may be a theocracy. The red wave may have not materialized. We don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? But what we do know is 11-9, National Scrapple Day, National Louisiana Day. Okay, just let it put that on your calendar.
National Scrapple Day. And that is, we decided that was very regional, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't eat Scrapple out here. That's for sure. As a Californian, I know of Scrapple from people further afield in the United States.
Yeah. Yes. It's a Philly, South Jersey, you know, just a waste meat extraction. Meat that somehow they normalized it in the Philly area. And
I'm gonna have
people
to
are still
it.
Gobbling it down.
Yeah, love waste meat. Love waste meat.
Love a good waste meat. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Last Time Here Before. Couldn't look him in the eye. He's just so goddamn old. His skin makes me cry. And now my boy Fetterman is getting wrecked in these ads. I want decent health care. Just some fucking health care. But I'm a freak. I'm some weirdo. How the fuck are we get Lambo? I don't belong here. I guess I'm just some freak. You know, yeah. I guess I'm just some freak who wants healthcare.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is courtesy of Mr. Lugubrious Lex Lugi on Twitter, who asked, if you're leaving Twitter, how do we do AKAs? I think I'm going to have to join the Discord. I think that's my next step. I'm also not leaving Twitter. I'm gonna stay in and watch it burn down around me personally.
Oh, you want to be the meme of everything's fine.
Everything's fine here.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Straight from Southern California, where the winning Powerball ticket was sold. It's your boy, the Blackanese experimental visual artist, your boy Kusama, who did not win the Powerball ticket. But I know where it was sold,
And we know it was sold in the area, place I've seen before. I've driven past in my life. And it's so funny. This morning, I was like, what if I bought it and won? And I was trying to think of how long I could go without telling anybody that I actually won it.
Well, now you're teasing. It seems like you're teasing that you did buy it and win.
I don't know. We shall see. That's not the only thing we don't know today.
We don't know who won as of yet. I just hope it's like a VC, a venture capital fund that bought like 300,000 tickets.
Right, that game,
you know, just snatched them up. Yeah. That's who I want to see a win for. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined once again in our third and fourth seat by two of the most brilliant hosts doing it in podcasting, the audio arts, among many other things. They are the hosts of the truly great award-winning podcast, The Stoop. It's Lila Day and Hanababa.
Hey.
What's up, you guys?
Hey, hey.
Hello, hello.
Welcome
we are
back.
Here.
You are here.
Thank you for having us again.
Yes. Thank you for being on whilst I am here.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm glad we're able to.
We were talking before, Miles. You ducked Miles last time. You said, are there any episodes that Miles won't be on? Could we come on that just to get our get our feet wet? Make sure we're up to it.
How are y'all doing, though? Where are you coming to us from today?
Cali in California. Okay. Both of us in California. I am in the north, in the Bay Area, the Yay area.
The Yay area,
Hey. And I'm in LA.
Okay.
And it's
so
raining.
another candidate who may have bought the Powerball ticket. We don't know.
we don't know.
Yeah, Mom's we're not
there. I'm waiting.
Mom's the
I'm
word.
Waiting for that too. Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also not telling whether I bought it. So
do you think okay, I mean, obviously we didn't win it, but how long do you think...
Speak for yourself.
Okay, fine. Thought experiment, Jack, in case you want it. Or anyone, what would your strategy, if you won that $2 billion, would you be hush-a-bye about it and get everything in order, get rid of it, so before anybody can hit you up for anything? But like, I gave so much of it away, I'm sorry, there's no more money there. Or how would you go about it? Because I think every person does this, has the thing like, what would I do if I won? I'm more interested in like, the mechanics of winning and who you tell or don't tell and what you do with it.
Yeah. I would be hush-a-bye just because I like that phrase. I would be all hush-a-bye.
I like hush-a-bye, yeah.
I would be hush-hush too. Definitely hush.
Yeah.
What would you do, Hannah?
I'm thinking. I probably would tell the world and then regret it the next day.
Right. Come out the woodwork.
But that like, first day, ooh.
That first day I got to tell people, not on Twitter. But elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
In my WhatsApp chats.
Uh-oh. All the fams.
All the family in Africa. Yeah. They're going to know. They're going to want their share. And then the next day, I'll regret it.
Right.
I think California has a law that you have to say, you have to name yourself coward.
Oh, you can't be an anonymous winner?
I don't think you can be anonymous. I think if you buy the ticket through, I think that's right. I think I did very lazy research on this one time, the one time that we bought the Powerball ticket.
Oh, no. Yeah. You got to reveal yourself.
Yeah. You got to reveal yourself.
Wow.
The one time before this time when I may or may not have bought
the
winning ticket.
What about an alias?
Yeah.
Can we do an alias?
Right. I'm probably.
That's why they wear the masks and stuff. They go on and they wear masks.
Oh,
and they're
like,
my name is Beep Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beep Johnson.
You don't want that attention.
Yeah, Beep Macrame. Yeah, that's what I would say is my name.
Macrame. All right. Well, we are going to get to know you both a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to talk about what we do know about Election Day so far, which is yesterday. Just fuckery. We know there was some fuckery.
Yeah, attempts at it for sure.
I'm gonna ask if it's time for a media, social media blackout around Election Day, like other countries have. And then we're just going to dive into stupid stuff like movie theater, candy. I mean, it's not stupid, actually. It's important stuff. Wakanda Forever drops in 2 days. It's important what we are going to be eating at the movie theaters. But before we get to any of it, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Lila, you go.
You know, I was right this morning digging in my search history. And one of the last things I searched was, can an egg fry on the sidewalk?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because I grew up in Las Vegas, and I always would tell people, I kind of brag about it, like, yeah, we can fry eggs on the sidewalk. And I said that to someone the other day, and they go, can you really fry an egg on the sidewalk? Ooh. And I go, yeah, we used to do it as a kid because we'd put them out there and they would kind of get bubbly, but I don't ever remember it frying. So I Googled it and it said the temperature has to be 158 degrees for an egg to fry. And sidewalks can reach up to 145 degrees. But I don't really think.
So close.
I know.
We're almost
wait,
there.
What about asphalt? What about blacktop, though? Because the color would retain more heat, right?
Exactly. That's what
because
I was thinking. On the asphalt.
I lived in Houston when I was little, and the weatherman always used to take an egg on his little weathercast and crack it on the sidewalk, and it would fry. So we have been lied to. From that time, right?
Movie magic.
Yeah. I mean, even the weatherman.
Yeah.
In Houston.
Well, I think we're headed in that direction, though. I think, like, I don't think it's a fixed upper limit for how fast, how hot the sidewalk gets. I think we're, come on, climate change. Let's fry some eggs. And then the one that I always heard when I lived in cold places was that it's so cold that you can spit. And your spit will freeze before it hits the ground. Did y'all ever hear that?
Mm-mm.
No, but is
never
that
lived
true?
There cold enough.
I think it's also a lie. I think it's, yeah.
Okay.
There is a level of cold where you can feel your tear ducts freezing.
Oh,
but I don't think that the freezing happens so quickly that it will freeze before it hits the ground.
Right,
I think I also lazily Googled that. At
like, well,
that
like if you put
painful.
Pressure like near your tear duct, like you could expel like an icicle from
Oh, that's terrible.
You know so what I mean? Disgusting, the
that's
visual
what I'm, that feels like, yeah, it just feels like body horror. Like, my insides are turning to icicles that I could.
I will never live in a cold. In a place that cold.
I'm going to search that on the TikTok.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah.
No.
I just like that it's like almost like a 9/11 style conspiracy theory with the sidewalk, which is like, well, a sidewalk can only get to 158 degrees, right. Therefore it cannot melt steel beams. And you're like, whoa, okay.
Uh-oh.
Get you started.
How about you, Hannah?
Okay, for me, and this is for all my fellow chemo brains out there. Our brains get foggy sometimes, and there's certain memories that, like, I can't remember if it was a dream or if it really happened to me. Mm. And so last night, I had this distinct memory of seeing Prince on stage, but it was just, like, at George Mason University's auditorium, which could not have been true, but I have this memory of that. So I often have to Google. I have to go to Google to see if my memory was right or not. Sure enough, George Mason University in January 2000, the amazing Prince.
Are you serious?
Held a concert in that auditorium. It was a time when he used to pick these obscure, weird little spaces that no one would really know about. So not really stadiums. That's why I was like, this has got to have been a dream. But it turned out to be true. I actually Googled it. Did Prince play George Mason University?
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And you got to go to that? That's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, I was there, apparently. Apparently.
Yeah. Jack, did you ever go to, like, the, what was it, the 21 night stand? How many nights was it at the Forum?
Yeah, there was a lot of nights in a row, and I missed every single one. It was like right when I just moved out.
3121 album? Are we talking about?
I think no, it's called the 21 Night Stand, and it was all in L.A. Like this was in 2011 ish.
It was the Forum, right?
Yeah.
And like they were doing like I remember my dad like three times.
Yeah, everybody was going and telling me to go. And I was like, I just moved here. Like, this probably happens all the time in L.A. And
then, I also do a 21-night run of shows.
Yeah.
iconic venues. I love it here.
But everybody who went, like, you were constantly running into people who were like, did you go last night? It was incredible.
Yeah. Right.
This is the best show I've ever seen.
People's lives were changed.
Yeah.
Let's stick with you, Hannah. What is something you think is overrated?
All right, I'm going to do another one. I know I'm going to get dragged, and I know I'm going to get slammed, but sparkling water or mineral water. Why? Just why? I still don't understand it. It's not just that I don't like it. I don't see the necessity.
Wow.
Why not just water?
carbonated water is a frivolous pursuit.
Thank you.
I see.
Bothers me to be asked, sparkling or still?
Or still.
Right. Of course, still. Who? Anyway,
get confused. They say sparkling or still or flat. Don't they say flat too? I'm just like,
is flat old sparkling water that you let get flat? Yeah. And now you're serving to me as that? Or is it never carbonated?
Totally overrated. All the shows with the posh women with their sparkling water. I can't stand it anymore. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, now tell me, Hana, does this come from, for you, you're like, if things have bubbles in it, there better be flavor.
Thank you.
It should be.
Yes.
I'm asking, is that sort of the logic path
you arrived
there?
I just think water should not be messed with. Water is water is water, and it shouldn't be messed around with, and that's all. And you're right. If it's bubbly, give me some limonada flavor or something. Anything.
Make it a soda, please.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm mad now.
It's like sort of the way my mom would talk about it for being from Japan, where she's like, I don't understand why people drink bubble water. She's like, it's water. You need water.
I love your mom.
And she's this very like rigid thing of she'd be like, oh no. Like if you offered her like sparkling, she's like,
Make a
show
of it.
And there's this assumption that it's the bougie water, right? Like, of course you want it. Of course, you know, I'm being generous and giving you the sparkling water.
Right.
Not like the, you know, the peasant water.
Right.
You know what I just found out also is that seltzer water and like all those things have carbonic acid in it. I have a friend who's a dentist and they were like, don't drink like bubbly water and think it's the same as drinking regular water. It's really bad for your teeth. Like carbonic acid. So another mark against it.
Thank you, dentist. And Miles' mom. Yes.
Okay, there you go.
They can be on the WhatsApp chat.
Yeah.
Lila, what is something you think is overrated?
I know that y'all will relate to this, Miles and Jack. I know you'll relate to this, but collagen creams. Collagen creams for the face.
Thank you.
Okay. Right?
Say less.
I know.
I thought it was going to be an audio thing.
Let me tell you why. There have been multiple studies that have shown that these creams with collagen, why applied on your skin, the molecules aren't big enough to penetrate into your skin. It's been like proven and studied and all these things. Yet, it's like crazy how much it is available and how many people are buying it and how many people are living by it. You got to buy this cream. And yeah, I just feel like, now, every time I see it, I'm like, this is scam. I'm not going to fall for the okie doke. This collagen cream don't work. But I might try the ingestible, like, liquid collagen. What about you guys? Are you guys using collagen at all?
Well, as you know, I tried to sell you my personal brand of collagen cream before we started recording. So I am feeling a little attacked right now, but I don't use it. Absolutely not. It's complete snake oil. But
I'm a royal jelly person myself.
Oh
yeah, so that's
how skin looks great, both of y'all. Yeah. So
I mean, oh my God, thank some you so say much. It's genetics. Hello. I would agree, probably that it's genetics, but I like to say it's from rubbing these jellies on my face.
Wait, jelly what is face. Royal jelly? Jelly face? Hey, jelly face. What is royal jelly?
Royal jelly is like I know it because in Japan, like an Asian like skincare products, people are going wild for royal jelly. Like it's like comes from honeybees.
Oh.
It's like a secretion where they're like, oh, like it's fantastic for, all I know is royal jelly was a big fad I remember witnessing as a kid. And like my mom and aunts were like, royal jelly. And then I just saw bees on the cover and I know it's from bees, but apparently the people talk about it for skincare.
And their skin
is
amazing today.
Yeah. Or, you know, just go with whatever Cindy Crawford is using, Dr. Obagi, that I see late at night on TV
that
when I leave the TV.
That's called surgery. Don't follow these celebrities.
Yeah. Right.
Who knows what they do in them clinics.
Yeah, seriously.
What is something, Lila, that you think is underrated?
I also think you guys would totally relate to this, but I would think about this. Yes. The Jerry Curl.
Oh,
the Jerry Curl.
I
just feel like the Jerry Curl didn't have the moment that it needed to have to actually thrive. I mean, you think about it. The Jerry Curl added texture. It added shine. It was a great, you know, do you guys remember like Coming to America, you know, Yeah. Soul Glow.
Just Soul Glow.
I was just going to ask if it, yeah. if like that was so iconic that it like hurt the Jerry Curl.
That
like
it hurt the brand, maybe.
Yeah, that it hurt the brand because it was so just like thorough and funny and timeless it that became, like yeah. Jerry Curl's never bounced back, so to speak.
Bounced back.
I mean, I hear you. You might have something there because I just feel like we're always talking about people want looser curls. They want more moisture in their hair. And the Jerry Curl did that. Mm-hmm. But everyone that had a Jerry Curl at one point was completely criticized for it and made fun of, right? Yeah. Called the So Glow and all that kind of stuff. In actuality, it's like what a lot of people are trying to aspiring, that curl pattern that a lot of people are trying to aspire for to get. So I'm like, the Jerry Curl, can we bring it back? Can we rebrand it?
Right. Because it really was like this like punchline in black comedy for a long time. Like I remember even like in Living Color, there was always like, it was always a character was too much activator trying to spray everything around them. I remember there's like people would talk, the joke was always like everything's greasy now with people getting their activator juice everywhere. And even like in Coming to America, the stains that the family left when they got off
on the back
couch.
Of the couch. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
So I wonder if like, yeah, the like if comedy or just like pop culture just took it to a place where we're like, because remember, I mean, our Ice Cube had a Jerry Curl. Everybody had a Jerry Curl.
Yeah.
Like even if they just called it something else, like Le Jerry Coulet. Maybe French or something, you know?
Fancy.
It needs the right celebrity to bring it back. Like
not Ice Cube.
Not Ice Cube. It can't be, because I feel like Bruno Mars was kind of rocking it for a little bit, but like,
oh yeah, he was.
That wasn't, I think that's not who we need it from. We need like Kendrick to drop his next album with a
Kendrick with
wild
curl.
Jerry Curl.
Would be nice.
A great look. And would,
I feel like, yeah, the way it came back, at least for me, was S Curl. Like, I remember in the early aughts, I had a lot of homies who were rocking the S Curl, who had like texturizer. That was just a little less, you know, but it's still shiny and a little bit of a looser curl.
A bit more texture.
Looking like
it's
Sean
like texture,
Wayne's.
But still pretty tight to the to
and
the
wet, hand. Wet looking.
Yeah,
right?
And wet, wet, wet. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I was gonna say, like, you know, I feel like Pulp Fiction tried to reclaim, you know, it tried to reinvigorate the.
It did the curl harm.
Yeah, but yeah, is it Sam Jackson and John Travolta?
You couldn't take him
like
seriously.
Jerry Curl and John Travolta both tried to make a comeback, and only Travolta actually got the comeback from that movie.
That's sad. That's sad.
Best
Bring
Jerry
it back.
Curl.
Bring it
Who had
back.
The best one? Rick James?
Rick James.
Rick James.
He had a long
style.
Curl.
Good. Yeah.
Long, drippy curl.
I mean, I still feel like Eric LaSalle in Coming to America.
Eric
still,
LaSalle's, yeah.
It's everything I wanted it to be.
But then that big wet stain, I feel like, fucked it up. Like, after you saw that, you were like, well, that seems impractical.
And, like, he was evil. And so you associated that with the bad guy.
It was, like, both vain and also, like, he was kind of whack. So, like, it was a bad combo.
The New Edition guys did a good job of a Jerry Curl, I think. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They were cute.
So long ago, right? There's no current Jerry Curl. There's no current version. Mm-hmm. Bring it back. Bring it back.
Yeah. Somebody, be brave and bring back the Jerry Curl, please.
Hannah, what's something you think is underrated?
Mine is going to be more serious and less funny. I'm sorry, but I've been trying to convince so many people around me and of my people in immigrant communities around me to vote. Mm. And people still do not understand fully or appreciate the power they have. Mm. And it's just the most, I think it's so highly underrated in kind of my immediate kind of black immigrant, African immigrant communities. There's this feeling of, what is my vote going to do, right? Mm-hmm. There's this feeling of, like, what actual change can happen from me getting up and filling this thing out and going, you know, it feels like the system has been formulated to kind of keep people that way.
Yeah.
There needs to still be education, a lot of education. And when I say education, I don't mean just like these things that you see flashing on your screen. People right. going into communities and sitting down with people and saying, if you vote in this election, it will affect your life and the life of your children in this way, A, B, C, in a culturally competent way of speaking, linguistically, you know, appropriate, whatever they need to do. But that effort is not there. So for me, sadly, today, on this day, my underrated thing is just voting, and more people need to appreciate that right. And I also want to call out my immigrant friends who, you know, can't wait to get the citizenship, right? Mm-hmm. It's a privilege. It's a high privilege to become a citizen of this country. A lot of people don't realize that when you're kind of born into it. Mm-hmm. But the things people have to go through to get citizenship in this country, it's a long road. It's hard. It's harsh. Mentally, it's taxing. And for you to have gone that far and stop short of one of the rights that have been fought for generations, right? Blood, sweat, and tears. It feels wrong to me. It's like there's something missing there. People are so excited to become citizens. And then this sacred right, it's just like they don't feel they're worthy, or they don't have a voice. I don't know what it is, but that's my... Sorry, like, it's a downer.
No, that's not really. I mean, and I also really like the idea of using history, or like using specific examples of like, here's an election that affected your life or like the people in your community's lives.
Right.
That
people still
there just wasn't the turnout. Yeah.
They don't get it, or they feel like their vote is really not wanted, like is not needed, is not wanted, or the suppression, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All of it absolutely. At the same time. Or just this idea, and that goes into conspiracy theory world, but everything is set before election day anyway. I hear that so much. Like,
right.
Like it's all planned by these forces and this system, and little old me is not going to change a thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just like this perspective, right? Because you could rightly say, well, I don't know. I've lived here for X amount of years. We've been worried about the same thing for decades, and it's actually worse off than when I first got here. That like would reinforce that kind of someone to become completely apathetic and not want to participate. And that's what's like so insidious, right? Is because on one hand, there's like this hope it offers people from abroad. And then there's also this like very fucked up part of American culture, which is reflecting to many people who don't look like, you know, white Christian America. Yeah, your needs are like tertiary at best. And it's wild how that feeds into it, when at the same time, it's really about connecting people to understand, too, like this is part of it. I know it feels like that, but there's also more to it than simply just throwing our hands up and saying like this it is what it is. And it's what it's always going to be. Mm-hmm.
Debbie Downer just brought the whole show down. Well, sorry.
we're about to. But take a break and talk about it. It is that day.
We're going to go further down.
We don't know
down.
The results, but we do know the process, and it's fucked up. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And what we know as of right now, which isn't very much, we know less than you do, the listener. You could probably go to, you know, the New York Times and see a story about like a massive red wave or not a massive red. Where's the red wave? We can't. We're in the past. We do know there was lots of fuckery, though. So
on the day
let's
of,
just dig into that. And the day of until, fuckery.
Yeah. I mean, just to start off in Florida, the Department of Justice is like sending like poll watchers, you know, election observers around the country to, you know, check on some stuff to see if there's anything completely untoward. And Governor DeSantis in Florida has been basically trying to prevent them from observing the election, even though like the Florida like state laws say the only people that can enter a polling place if you're not voting is law enforcement. And they're like, well, these people from the Department of Justice are just we're going to redefine them as poll watchers for this. So they are not allowed in. I'm not sure where any of that has shaken up, but there's been a lot of attention on South Florida and federal observers there. Georgia, I think, is a really big state to talk about because they have gone all in on voter suppression in the wake of the 2020 election. Governor Kemp, you know, has this SB 202 was the bill and was basically saying, like, don't worry, with this bill, it's actually going to be so much easier to vote. And it's actually, if you're a cheater, that's who has to worry because it is going to be so hard to cheat. Obviously, what all this looks like now is just laws that are nearly tailor-made to suppress the vote in like black urban or college town areas where there's younger voters, because that's truly how they're trying to eke out these margins. If they can suppress those blocks, then maybe they have a numerical advantage. And the law actually encouraged individuals to like challenge the validity of registrations. Tens of thousands of voter registrations have been challenged. Most have been completely thrown out, those challenges, luckily. But again, showing you that this is the kind of chaos that the bill is meant to sow, like on the day, just to keep people right, not sure about their own voter registration. But so far, the turnout in Georgia has been at historic levels, and people seem undeterred despite that, which I think is always a good thing, rather than people, you know, kind of throwing their hands up and saying, well, fuck it, they're trying to make sure that I can't vote anyway. So that is moving in a somewhat positive direction. But you add to that shortened like times to request an absentee ballot, increased ID requirements, and the fact that it's like illegal for election officials to even preemptively just send ballots out to people just is another way they're trying to get every single numerical advantage right now. So it's not insignificant, because when you look at absentee ballots, that's a huge hit for students, you know, and the elderly and people who have other mobility issues or medical conditions that don't allow them to vote in person. So taking that whole block out is, you know, was with a very intentional purpose, for sure.
And all done to avoid voter fraud, which study after study has indicated doesn't exist in any significant sense. But it motivates like millions and millions of dollars and hours of work to avoid it, just because it's a convenient narrative for the right.
And And everything's been super conspiracy theory heavy. There's this woman, she's like a walking conspiracy theory, running for Secretary of State in Michigan. Her name's Christina Caramo. She tried to cite the Dinesh D'Souza fucking fantasy, like, conspiracy documentary, 2000 Mules, to try and pretty much argue that, like, you know, actually all of Detroit's votes need to be contested or thrown out, just based on what I've seen. The judge, luckily, laughed her out of the courtroom. But they tried it along with, like, clearly on its face absurd material that does not reflect reality. But people are like really like full voice coming into a court and be like, in this documentary, I mean, it's laying it out there. Like, so we have serious concerns about this and any conflicts of interest that might arise out of all of that. In Arizona, there are already counties that are trying to audit the vote, challenge this vote. They're like, and go to the whole thing that they want to get like a hand recount. Then this has been a huge thing for the MAGA people, is to get in on this like hand counted ballots. You know, they say voting Amish or whatever. And the whole thing is because they believe the computers have Venezuelan malware that's against white supremacy. So we got to just, you know, use our hands to count this. But just so you know, hand counts are fucking bad. OK, a 2018 study found that when you do a hand count, it's less accurate than machine counts, obviously. And they've also found in previous counts that there's around a 2% error rate, which is not insignificant when you're dealing with like hundreds of thousands or millions of votes that could easily put an election one way or the other. So there is a lot. And again, this all helps to slow down the announcement of a winner, which is and it's that period where the freaks like Rudy Giuliani get to do their shit stirring song and dance to get the base to reject the election. And that's we're definitely seeing that playbook basically kind of, you know, showing its face all over again in these midterms.
It was interesting to watch Brazil's election, because in both cases they voted in the morning and at night the results were in.
Yeah.
And it was I think they have more like people buying more into the voting technology, which Bolsonaro was, you know, arguing was corrupt or whatever, but it's one of the most efficient electoral systems. So like all of this inefficiency is built into the system for a reason, you know,
it's purposeful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It helps people. It helps the media like around the world for the most part. Like by law, the French observe a period of no electoral press coverage starting 44 hours before an election. In the UK, TV and radio stations are prohibited from covering the election when the polls are open. So like at least like during voting, you're not allowed to be putting like wild conspiracy theories out on the air, or at least that's how it would affect America. Many countries, there's a blackout period ranging from 1 to 10 days before an election in which opinion polls may not be publicly released. But like it really feels like social media needs to like come together. And this will probably not happen unless there is some sort of tragedy or act of violence, but needs to come together and be like, we're not allowing people to, you know, spread misinformation about elections like as the elections are happening, because it's just getting worse and worse, and it's going to keep getting worse and worse. And I don't know that there's anything. I mean, maybe a social media ban doesn't even fix it. But it does.
I mean, I wish a social media ban would fix white supremacy,
right?
Like that. but I'm not sure it will, because you know what we're witnessing too is this: the Republicans' biggest fears are coming true, like as a party or like as an ideology, right? That they, that their idea of America is not really the dominant one, and a more diverse, inclusive one is emerging. So they are targeting them and trying to hold on to this sad, outdated version of the country by any means necessary, even if that means disinformation and political violence. The thing that I want to point out is, like, you go on Fox News, right? All conservative media is telling their base is that we got this. There's no stopping the red wave unless there's massive fraud. That's the only way. We lose this one, y'all. That message is being really consistently reinforced from the pundits down to the candidates. So if anything resembling even a purple wave happens, there's going to be a lot of hurt feelings, or, you know, they'll be able to weaponize this sort of ill-informed expectation of viewers to then say, well, you know what? Probably massive fraud. And that's why we need to begin challenging all these other elections. I'm just going to play this clip really quick so you can hear about this is Jesse Waters on Fox, basically saying, like, it's going to be a red wave, folks. It's going to be a red wave.
And the horse track won't be the only place we see a historic beatdown this week. We're less than 24 hours from the first polls closing in the midterm elections, and Republicans are charging for the finish line. Are we looking at one of the biggest red waves in American history? Well, in 2010, Obama lost Democrats 63 seats in the House. In 1994, Clinton dropped 54. In 2018, Trump lost 40. All of them had higher approval ratings than Biden does right now. So what happens tomorrow? Anything over 40 House seats is a big wave. The first polls close at around 7, and Bill Hemmer tells me that if Republicans pick up at least two of the three House seats in Virginia, that means we're looking at a massive wave. And don't listen to the lies they're spewing that this could take days or days, you know, to know who won. This is total BS. What? A wave like this, we should know that night, basically, who won the Senate and the House. Anything that happens Wednesday into Thursday is gravy.
Okay.
So using like political precedent or historical precedent to say, like, you know, midterms usually go the other way. Mm-hmm. But also not like completely ignoring the fact how much more enthusiasm there is from Democrats, because like, people are seeing an incredible erosion of their their rights happen before their eyes. That would motivate a lot of people to come out to vote against them. But again, just doing a whole thing of like, don't buy this stuff that they have to count these other spooky votes somewhere. But yeah. Oh, yeah. Please chime in. Yes. This whole show is always.
Yeah, it's for you to chime in. Yeah.
yeah. So that's been, I think when you look at that and him really trying to tell people, just ignore everything else. It's got to be a win. That's what really freaks me out.
And that's what I was talking about earlier when, you know, so they're sending this message out to their people, but everybody hears it, you know, this idea of, oh, it's done. Oh, it's a Republican wave. It's a red wave. This is, you know, historically has been the election where the dominant party in charge is punished. Therefore, you know, I mean, it should be, therefore, I need to go out and vote. But then it becomes, therefore, you know, if this is already happening, then why do I need to go? Why do I need to be a part of this? And if it's already set up beforehand. And so this idea of a red wave, it's like, it's not just a dog whistle for Republicans. I feel like it also affects everybody who's hearing these messages. And honestly, you know, going back to, I come from Sudan, you know, a dictatorship. And these tactics remind me of what was happening in Sudan around elections, whenever elections did happen. It's these same kinds of tactics. And I'm just wondering whether folks are taking, you know, are kind of looking at what these other dictatorships, theocracies are doing and taking a page out of their playbooks. It's all so eerily familiar.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there are many ways that the right and the Republican Party has doubled down on authoritarianism. And there's a massive history to pull from when it comes to that, and a massive present to pull from to see like what's working in
the present tense in countries that have social media and authoritarianism or anti-democratic power structures in place.
Yeah.
But even this idea y'all were saying about how other countries sort of shut down media to comment on any sort of commentary within days before an election, even that would be considered extremely authoritarian and like draconian if that ever happened in this country, right? I can't even see that even flying, although I'm completely 100% on the side of that should be something that happens, just to see the outcome of an election. But I don't know if you guys think that's even something that,
but free
that
would speech be
a possibility. Yeah. Here I just don't think it would even be considered, especially when you have, you know, someone like Elon Musk right now saying that the voices of Twitter should be, you know, held as the authority and not really, you know, journalistic. Yeah. Kind of opinion is overrated. And so I feel like we're going more and more in the direction of it being all for one for all. Everyone kind of can weigh in on this. And yeah. I just don't ever see that happening in this country.
Yeah, I think you're right.
At the same time, you know, we're both journalists, Leela and I, and this idea of this war on journalists, right? Like this idea of don't believe them, or like, quote unquote, as you were saying earlier, mainstream media, you better, you know, be discerning and be careful who you listen to. And at some point, you know, Trump was calling for hurting journalists, as we remember.
And continues
so
to.
It's yeah, all this war of information and who to believe and who not to believe. And it's getting messier and messier on social media. I mean, I'm a person who, honestly, I have not been on Twitter as much to preserve my own sanity and mental health. But, you know, but it's a place that millions and millions of people rely on for information every single day. And that's scary to me.
Yeah, I don't think that Elon Musk is going to turn around and be like, this election was a mess. I'm going to forego like any electoral tweets, like will be stopped by Twitter. I just think that it's valuable for Americans to know that there is another way, that other countries don't view that as authoritarian. They just view that as a better function of the media. And when you look at how American media covers electoral politics, it's so focused. It's like suddenly the mainstream media turns into ESPN and it's all just about covering who's winning. Oh, he just got owned in that debate because he's recovering from a stroke.
He had a stroke?
You know?
Oh, no way. Like what?
Yeah, it's just covering the horse race. I mean, they talk about that. I worked at ABC News for the 2004 election, and they had this big like town hall meeting ahead of the election where they were like, how do we cover things in a way that isn't just covering the horse race and then like what, you know, our coverage becomes coverage of our coverage of the horse race, because it's like, okay, this narrative is picking up. So now we're all talking about the narrative around the narrative. And it just becomes this complete mess that's all just designed to create intrigue, but it actually has created a system that is very confusing, is very alienating to people wondering why they should vote. And I think just, you know,
anxiety inducing.
Yeah. If there were 10 days before the election where the mainstream media and Fox News like had to just not cover the election, like I wonder if that would change overall how they covered things, you know, like what,
because, or everybody should be listening to public radio and watching public media, not a play at all.
Yeah,
but we're quieter, we'll get you the information without a lot of the inflammatory kind of side stuff. We go deeper than a lot of these channels, and because we're just, you know, we don't have to run to the commercial, right? We don't have to kind of satisfy that sponsor. Look at Leela smiling. She's like, now I'll put in a plug for public radio.
No, I guess my point is that public radio is seen by the a lot of Americans as part of the problem, you know, that they're left-leaning, that they're liberal, that they're biased, you know, sort of thing. So I just feel, you know, you have a huge sector of, it's all just, you know, it's all very subjective, right? You know, people are leaning towards what they moralistically feel are is more aligned with them. And unfortunately, the stories and the point of view and the journalism from public radio isn't respected by a lot of Americans.
I think, unfortunately, for all the talk of like, you know, there's like, I'm looking at like CNN, right? They're owned by like a Republican, you know, and we're starting to see how they're trying to be like, we need to like center this thing a little bit. And you're like, no, that's not what you mean. But okay, we can use that. Can use that terminology. Twitter is now owned by Elon, who's out here being like, vote Republican. Fox, obviously, like, there's more to say how much of a conservative bend media has and just sort of weaponizes the term like liberal media to say like they're trying to tell people about like to be humane or stories that are like centering the human experience rather than like these like really violent sort of like political stereotypes that get people to just stop thinking and be like, yep, uh-huh, yep, okay, I don't need to hear more. I'm fired up because someone is like has their books paid for? Has a student loan? What?
Yeah.
And if the people who own a company are Democrats, for the most part, they're like Rick Caruso Democrats, you know, they're like the sort of Democrats who support billionaire rulers because they themselves are billionaires. Like, I don't.
What is the answer?
Nonprofit media. Nonprofit media.
Truly. And honestly, I think the thing is there should be no, you shouldn't have, like, everyone should have a fixed budget for political ads. Like in other countries, it's like no one can blow anyone else out on the spend. That's when if you can't take the money out of politics and reverse like Citizens United and shit like that, then there have to be other like levers on it where someone's dark money spending doesn't completely give an advantage to some ghoul who's like just there to merely act out the will of some like nefarious think tank or whatever, or pack or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, like that, I think always the answer is just going to first is just to get the money out of politics, like just to get the corporate spend out. But that is such a gigantic lift at this point in this country. Like, yeah, I guess the other things are like properly supported media that aren't relying on advertisements or doing sponsored content with like fossil fuel companies or something and then pretending it's news and things like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's just that like, money's on short supply for people who are doing good things, and the people with a lot of money would rather fund the things that maintain the status quo. And that's really the biggest challenge, I feel.
Yeah.
The effery that you were talking about.
Yeah. 100%. And again, feeds into any person's understanding of like, what's the point of doing something here? What's the point of voting?
Right.
I've only known, you know, dire straits for most of my life. And I'm not able to connect how voting for this person is going to do that. And I think that's, you know, part of it is that we're just not able to also offer enough people the coverage to see that there are other ways that people work together to make good outcomes. It's not always necessarily in like what's happening in the federal government, but to at least begin investing in like what it means to be part of your community, that the people who are making decisions in your community, and hopefully that can, you know, reverberate further out. But.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break to hear from our corporate sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk about movie theater candy.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And Wakanda Forever drops in 2 days as of the day that this episode drops. It's Wednesday. Drops on Friday. Reviews are in.
Or Thursday night.
They look, you know, they're between like solid and glowing. Super producer Joelle, I think, saw it. And I'm not allowed to say what she said, but suffice it to say, it looks very good. Things are looking very good for this movie.
Pretty good over there.
Pretty good. Early estimates suggest that everyone in America is going to see it at least twice this weekend. the dollar figures are wild. They're like, yeah, we're seeing like 250 million in like one weekend. It's crazy. Anyways, a lot of people are going to see this movie. I'm going to see this movie. I don't know if I'm going to see it this weekend, but I'm going to see it ASAP. And it raises the question. There's recently a Cinemark map. So Cinemark, the theater chain, created one of those maps where, like, this is everybody's favorite movie theater candy by state. And it is one of those maps that actually seems to be based in fact. You can tell because the results are pretty boring in some cases. Like, they're a big chunk of the country is just like, yeah, we like M&M peanuts, just like you would expect, because M&M peanuts are good. Somebody writing about it was like, do they like M&M peanuts because they come in yellow wrappers and that's the easiest snack to see in the dark? It's like, no.
Have you ever eaten in a movie theater? It's about no look eating the whole time. You're like, where's my bag of whatever by my lap? And just keep shuffling that into your mouth.
Who is putting that thought into it, is being like, which of these is going to be easiest for me to see in the dark?
Right. First off, I want to ask, what is everybody's favorite movie candy? Just so we can establish some kind of baseline here.
Yeah.
Mine isn't even on here. It's the Raisinettes.
Ooh. Oh, great answer.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer.
Oh, Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good answer.
I mean, have you guys ever taken some lightly buttered popcorn, just lightly, you know, just a dab,
You take your raisinets, you sprinkle them on top of that popcorn, you sit in the dark, and
every
handful is like a bite of a burst of surprise and joy. I just, I've also had major stomach pains and vomiting after.
Raisinets do not sit well in my stomach, but when, oh, they're so fun going down.
What?
And
I can't taste I don't like their taste at all. I'm sorry, Leela.
Controversial.
Me and Leela have not gone to the movies yet. I mean, you should come here. You could just drive up and we should go see Wakanda together.
We can see it three times.
I'm going purposefully to the blackest theater in Oakland at Grand Lake Theater. That's where we're going to go see it. And mine is Whoppers.
Whoppers. Wow. Also not on here.
Malted
chocolate balls.
Those are malted. Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah. Although they crunch, and that's not ideal for a movie situation. I realize that. Still,
it's a light crunch.
Love Whoppers.
Mine's also not on here, but Miles, you do yours first. But what is going on? You guys are
non-representative. I'm telling you, it's like the elections. Thank you very much.
I think we're out here. We contain multitude. This is America. You know, we don't just reduce us to one logo on a state.
Yeah,
I would eat like Nerds ropes if they have them.
Yeah, Nerds ropes are fantastic.
Or like Twizzler. I think I had some recently.
Twizzler
like a
is
Twizzler
red fine.
That you could like split apart though. No, it was like, I think it was like a sweet and tart. Oh, you know what? It could be sweet and tart ropes.
Sweet tart ropes are the number one candy in Alaska at the one right. movie theater in Alaska. No, that's
next to eating Dungeness crab in the theater. Which that's what they do. But I like the fruity kind of like sour candies. Like I'll go crazy. If I'm like on 420 when I went a couple years ago, I got popcorn. I get a little bit of a cup of nacho cheese to dip my popcorn in.
Wow.
Okay, because I'm a savage.
You are a savage.
I get the candy ropes or whatever, and then I got to have some kind of peanut butter situation. It could be Reese's Pieces. It could be peanut M&M's.
Can I just say, Red Vine's headquarters is 5 minutes away from me.
Wow.
Okay, so let's get into this.
So I realized that we just started in talking about our favorite, but we should say, so the number one answer is M&M peanuts, and M&M peanuts are dominant from Texas and every state surrounding Texas, essentially. It's also Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, like a bunch of those states, or not New York, actually. New York is cookie dough bites. So M&M peanuts have like a big stronghold in big chunks of the country that are very populous, and also Wisconsin. And then there is a big divide. It was mentioned before Miles said Red Vines. One of you said Red Vines are Twizzlers or Twizzlers are Red Vines. They are separate. They're different candies, and Twizzlers are the East Coast, and then Red Vines are... So Red Vines are the number one candy, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada. It's the most... It is holding down an entire Idaho, Colorado. It's holding down that entire chunk of the map and
nowhere else.
Yeah. Mm. But Red Vines started in Chicago, and Twizzlers, I think, started in New York. And it's been that way since day one that they're like, you know, regionally. It's either the Mississippi or west of the Rockies. We don't know where exactly to divide it, but Red Vines are dominant on one side of the country and Twizzlers the other.
I wonder what the story is there.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I wonder if like if you went into like a movie theater in like fucking Maryland or something and you're like, let me get some Red Vines. And they're like, Red Vines? Like if they would, if it would be like that kind of an outward thing. Because when I
didn't know about Red Vines when I grew up on the East Coast. I only knew of Twizzlers.
I knew about Twizzlers from the commercials, but I never saw Twizzlers in the store growing up in LA. I always saw Red Vines. That big tub of Red Vines, I've always, like, I don't know, that used to be a thing we would drink root beers out of.
So Twizzlers is owned by, I think, Mars or Hershey. And so I think they're...
Twizzlers headquarters, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red Vines headquarters, a 5-minute walk from me.
There you
so
go.
Right. Maybe Oakland. It's just shorter trucking times.
Yeah. I mean, Twizzlers' origins are traced to New York's Young and Smiley confectionery firm in 1845, which was bought by Hershey's in 1977.
Okay.
And then the American Licorice Company of Chicago premiered its black licorice vines in 1914. And then the classic raspberry vines, which is what Red Vine's original name was, made their debut 6 years later.
Wait, are Red Vine's raspberry
They're
flavor?
Supposed to be raspberry.
Are they?
I don't fuck with either, really. Because they're
like either.
They're not tart enough. I need them to, like, nerd ropes are the rope that was promised. Like, I need it to be, like, sweet and tart. I don't, like, they're just both so dull.
So
me.
You're
they're
a Sour
fun.
Patch guy.
So, yeah, that is my candy of preference. The Sandy Patch, the Sour Patch Kid.
Like my teenage daughters. Welcome to the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You candy.
I think they mix the best with popcorn, too. I love to dump my Sour Patch Kids in. They also, so I was going to say the Raisinettes, I said earlier when you were talking about Raisinettes that you can dump the whole box in, but actually Raisinettes, they all go to the bottom. So you have to do a layered thing. You have to do like a handful.
Wow. Totally.
Sour Patch Kids, though, like for whatever reason, they don't always fall all the way to the bottom. You can dump the
whole
thing.
Can I ask
a
question?
Yeah.
Why are there states that have none? Like Maine apparently has no favorite candy. They refused to report.
Yeah.
They hate
I wonder
joy.
If like Cinemark doesn't operate there, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Cinemark doesn't have any chains there.
Oh, they operate in New Hampshire, but not Vermont, huh? Okay. I see the lines being drawn. But, and like, yeah, Twizzlers are also... Like, I know people who are like, you got to get a fresh batch of Twizzlers. You got to get a fresh batch of Twizzlers.
Fresh batch.
I just got someone I know, like, got a shipment of Twizzlers recently. And they're like, I got fresh ones. Come try them. They don't taste fucking better fresh.
It's like it's sourdough bread or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, I get that there are freshies you want to have from Halloween candy, right? Like a fresh Abba Zaba. That is good. Like when they when they go too long, they turn to cement or whatever. But a Twizzler or like a Red Vine, I don't know about like a stale one where I'm like, I think I'm just not as
candy.
Liquor.
Candy freshness is real. I have come to appreciate that the freshness of a candy over time definitely helps. Is it? It's better like when it's kind of new. Like when you're eating Halloween candy, like in the new year, that shit is no longer any good.
Right.
For the most part. I mean,
our neighborhood kids took everything but left the Tootsie Rolls, which really surprised me. I love Tootsie Rolls. The fudge.
I'm not
what, Leela?
I'm not a fan of the Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Rolls.
The dance or the candy.
Yeah.
I like it. It's good. But they kept like moving. Literally
moving
like,
them aside.
Moving them aside and looking for the sour stuff like Jack.
Yeah. I like the sour stuff. The kids these days, that's how you know we're a young, hip podcast. We say
yes,
kids
you
these
are.
Days.
Yeah.
They like the sour candy, that's for sure.
The 6ix9ine boys should have done a collab with the makers of the Tootsie Roll.
They never did? There's probably some commercial somewhere.
I mean, what happened to Quad City, you know? How far have we fallen in this time since 1995 or 6?
Their music is still very popular in all the parties, so I don't know, you know, even like high school proms.
Oh, they still know about Miami Bass?
Are still whooping, there it is. Isn't that them? Is that them? Oh, no, it's not them?
No,
ooh,
6ix9ine.
Girl,
no,
your,
no.
Get your
Quad City DJs, right. Quad City DJs. Isn't that them? The whoop, there it is. No?
That was DC... Wait, what, tag team.
Again.
Let me hear some noise. DC's in the house. Jump, jump, enjoy. A party over here.
Yesterday, where I was playing that song in the car, it's been on my kids' playlist since they were, you know, two. And my six-year-old was like, yeah, I don't really like this song anymore.
Oh!
I was like, no.
Oh.
Really?
That's a hard moment.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I think it's probably because we've worn it out, but it's still...
Wow. Mm. They really don't? Huh.
That's
so they can't.
Brutal.
They cannot dig it.
Yeah. I said, can
you ever turn
dig
around
it?
And
while
can
you're
y'all
driving.
Dig it? We can dig it.
Dad,
come on,
look at the
son.
Road. Just look at the road, Dad.
Stop looking around asking me, can we dig it? Our own graves because you're about to crash this car? No.
Miles, what's your favorite candy? Did you say? Oh, you said the ropes?
I said nine things because I'm high when I go into a movie theater, and I have to indulge all my senses, sweet and
but
savory.
But none of ours were really on here. No. Other than I guess Red Vines.
I will say Reese's Pieces I love, but that's all because of E.T.
E.T. is the best product placement of all time. It remains the best product placement of all time. I don't think I like Reese's Pieces. I don't think I've ever liked them. But I still fuck with them when I'm at a movie theater because of E.T. And because of E.T., I started getting them when I was young at the movie theater and just have like an association where I'm like, man, if I eat a pound of Reese's Pieces, I get a wild sugar high. So I still remember getting those at Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I was a child.
Wow.
Those were the days.
What are your thoughts on Reese's Pieces?
I'm neutral. I'm very blah, bland, meh. I don't have, you know, I don't hate them. I don't love them. They're kind of just meh. But I find it interesting that you would like, that your palate would enjoy a food because of a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
That's interesting. It's like the association. It's purely the association. There have been a few movies where or TV shows, I started eating stuff because of what I saw on TV. Like, I remember Abba Zabba because of How High. Right. Half Baked. They're talking about Abba Zabba, and I was like, I got to try that. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Reese's Pieces because of E.T. There was one other one in Mallrats, this dude is eating like chocolate-covered pretzels in a scene, and then I became, I just like went all in on chocolate-covered pretzels.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think what all that to say is I'm stupid. Yeah. And I want to be like TV screen.
The advertisements have worked. They work on you.
Huge.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And I didn't knowingly say I'm eating this because of E.T. It's just that E.T. eating those things, and it had like, they foleyed a nice little crunch whenever he ate it.
Yeah.
And the colors of the bag, for whatever reason, it worked. They got my ass. And that was supposed to be M&M's, and Mars fucked up and just were like, we're not interested in putting our candy in your little movie. And so they went with Reese's Pieces. And
Yeah. And they're like, you can do it for free. And
you know too
now.
Much about this.
Yeah. We did a whole thing on it because we were really thinking about how like seminal that is for Reese's Pieces, that E.T. thing. And I think it's also seen as wacky little fingers just drop a couple of Reese's Pieces. Like,
that's appetizing.
I don't know why, but it felt magical.
It does. It works for some reason. It shouldn't. Should work.
I can't.
I
offer
won't judge you,
you.
We will not judge.
I can't
you.
Offer you a
you
good
judge
explanation.
Me. I judge I myself.
Just, those
I'm
nasty
wrong.
Little fingers, though.
Well, Hana, Leela, such a pleasure having you both on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can listen to The Stoop wherever you find your podcasts. Don't you just love that?
I hate that
constant
phrase.
Line. Yeah. Yeah. We're doing stories consistently throughout the year about the Black diaspora, The Stoop, or thestoop.org. You can find us there or on social media at The Stoop Podcast.
Amazing. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. So I found this lady that does these little, it's Instagram. But I think she's on TikTok as well. And the handle is CSA Punch. And she's just this lady. She's a mom of young kids. And she loves 90s R&B. And she does these little skits with like 90s R&B songs. And it brings me joy. She's funny. She takes a song like that the kids are listening to now that has been sampled. And then goes back and you hear the original song. And then that song turns out was sampled by somebody else. So it's just fun. And I, you know, she keeps me happy.
Amazing.
And that's her handle is CSA Punch.
Nice. Leela, how about you?
Well, I've been like really intrigued by just recently on Twitter, someone had tweeted like, where are the girls from the perm boxes? I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was like, where are they now? The girls with their straight hair on the front of the perm boxes, like little girls, 8 years old, looking cute, and the little ponytails and the beads. And they came forward and they showed pictures of like where they're at now. And these girls, first of all, they like all of them had natural hair. They didn't have perms. They didn't have their hair straightened. And they were just gorgeous. They were beautiful. And they were just these stunning women that were kind of talking about like what it was like to be on that perm box at such a young age. And like, I just loved that whole interviewing them. There was a site called Because of Them, and they did a whole series like on where they are now. And I love that kind of flashback kind of thing. So I was loving that.
Nice. Miles, where can people find you? And what is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Jack, I mean, when was the last time you bought a box of Just For Me texture softener?
Just For Me? Oh,
yeah.
You know.
You remember the girls.
It's been a while. I'm almost out. So
you remember the girls from the perm boxes? Come on, Jack. Let's see. Some tweets that I like. One is just from Jamie Loftus, at Jamie Loftus Help, tweeted, how many poorly written comic book villains will we elect today, folks? which feels kind of what's going on there. Oh, and then at Jay Frankensteiner tweeted, every Elon post is like watching Joe Pesci enter the Home Alone house. that summed it up. Thank you for fusing those two things together. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can check Jack and I out on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. We got a new episode coming out tomorrow, Thursday. You don't want to miss that. Also, my other podcast talking about 90 Day Fiancé, 420 Day Fiancé, wherever you get your podcasts. I saw your eyes light up. Lila, what's
you're busy.
Going on?
Lila likes that show.
90 Day Fiancé. It's a jam. It's a jam.
All right. Well, Lila, we might have you on sometime. You know, it's also a very, I just love what the Venn diagram is of like really intellectual people who also fuck with 90 Day. It's unbelievable in my mind. Like the kind of people who are like, I love 90 Day. I'm like, you want a Peabody.
I mean, don't hold that against people.
Yeah, no,
it is
not at all.
A social experiment. I love it.
There it is. Let's see. And that's it. Yeah, find me there.
There you go. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Christy Yamaguchi Main tweeted something yesterday that I thought was just a fun shit post. He tweeted, been giving rides to senior citizens to go vote and making small talk on the way. And if I find out they're voting Republican, I just push them out of the car. Not even slowing down. Got to maximize my time. And I can just see a lot of Republicans finding that and be like, do you see what's happening?
Yeah.
And wasting a lot of time.
So many people on Twitter doing that stuff to see if they get picked up by conservative outlets.
Yeah. And then Emma Berquist wrote, instead of a sticker, you should get a hot dog when you vote. This is supposed to be America. I think that's probably a pretty good
idea. You should have options. You
know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
I would take
options of what you put on your hot dog.
I would take like a, I don't know. I'm just, let me just think about this
red
a little
mines.
Bit. Yeah.
Covered pretzel.
Hey, we got peanut M&Ms, Reese's Pieces, or a hot dog. What do you want?
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
This is a group I maybe have called out one or two of their songs in the past. They're called Elkin and Nelson. And then they're these two brothers from Colombia that moved to Spain like in the 70s. And like they got into like disco in Spain in the 70s, but they're from Colombia. So like their sense of rhythm is completely different than like continental Europe. So the albums they made are like really funky and they sound like it's such a unique sound for that era. And I always loved their work. And I was just listening to one of their other albums. This track is called Vámonos. And it's by Elkin and Nelson. And if you like a little, just if you like solid rhythm and like funky, I don't know what I'll call it, like funky Latin disco kind of thing, check this track out. It's called Vámonos.
All right. Well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending for our first episode post-election results. We will talk y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do.
Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.